Okay? James 5. You learning something? James 5, 13, 14, and 15. Well, look at the prayer of faith. Because it's only James who taught it that way. Of course, we have a plethora of scriptures, you know, about praying and believing for it. But James 5 says, and he addresses it. He says, is any sick among you? Is there any sick among you? Verse 14. Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now there are different opinions about this. Why does he have to call the elders? Some believe that it's because the sick he refers to there is somebody who is broken down, who can't even come to church. Some believe that, well, that the way James wrote it is a general thing. That when believers are sick, they can be prayed for. That why Paul and Co didn't write it like that is because from their writings, they expected the believer to take a hold of his rights in Christ. But either way, he still says it here, that if there's any sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Then he says, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, that anointing with oil, I've explained that to you a couple of times. It's just like medicinal, you know, just a natural cure. There's nothing supernatural about that. And it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Hallelujah. Now, there's no special prayer called prayer of faith. Why he called it the prayer of faith is because he says, let them pray over him in the name of the Lord. Pray over him. And whenever you pray in the name of the Lord, because the anointing oil was there, it's a prayer of faith. Because a prayer of expecting the power of God to work. Now, earlier on in James 1:5, James had mentioned this in verse 5. He says, if any lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God who gives. So, he must ask of God who gives. Imagine if I'm told to ask of somebody who gives. That means that I must release my faith in my prayer that he will give it. What mustn't be on my mind is whether he will or not. It appears like what James said, that what is just necessary is for me to ask. Who gives to all liberally? But James, James repeats the word gives twice. So in my prayer of faith, I must always see a giving God. Who gives to all liberally? The word liberal is the word haplos. H-A-P-L-O-S. And does not find for haplos means sincerely and generously. He does not find fault. Then in verse 6, he said, let him ask how? Huh? Let him ask how? In faith. Let him ask in faith. He says, nothing wavering. Now what's that faith? The faith is to be persuaded of a giving God. Nothing wavering. What must I not waver from? I must not waver from the giving God. Nothing wavering. Remember verse 5 says, he shall be given him. So it means that I will receive what he gave by faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing. The word wavering is the same word we read earlier about Abraham. He did not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. Nothing wavering. He must not have an outer of doubt in his words about the character of God. Who gives? Then he says, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Notice, it is a let not that man think that God shall give. Let not the man think he shall what? Receive. Anything. So, the prayer of faith, therefore, is to ask and receive. The prayer of faith is to ask and receive. The prayer of faith is to ask and receive. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Then he says, the prayer of faith, a double-minded man is unstable. The word double-minded is the word dipsuchos, which he uses in James 4 and verse 8, to be double-minded, to have two personalities. In one breath, you believe God for healing. There's another personality of yours that is thinking, well, let me find a solution to this matter. He said, let not such man think he will receive. Because a double-minded man is unstable. He uses the word akatastasto, this is in the Greek, I'll spell it for you. A-K-A-T-A-S-T-A-T-O-S. A-K-A-T-A-S-T-A-T-O-S. It means unsettled. Remember we talked about that? You must be firm in your resolve about God's power. He's unsettled. There's somewhere in his heart where he's still thinking, well, it happened, let's just be, my own is just be awake and alive and all that. In his mind. Let not that man think he would receive. James is so resolute that so the prayer of faith is, I pray in faith of a giving God. And because I know he gives, in faith I receive. In faith, I receive. So when it says, the prayer of faith is what Jesus taught in Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you. Therefore what? Verse 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, verily, verily, I say unto you. Verse 22 says, have faith in God or have the faith of God. Whosoever, very, very, I say unto you, verse 23, Mark 11, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have what things soever he says. Remember we said, doubt, fear, and unbelief are found where? In words. That's why verse 23 says, whosoever shall say, okay? And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. I told you that the says are three. Can you remember that? One is to make a command. The other one is to insist on what you have said. That what I have said, I am repeating it again. He shall have whatsoever he says. Don't forget that Jesus just spoke to a tree. Do you know that if I can speak to a tree, it will dry up. I can speak to cancer. There is no way science can explain how speaking to a tree makes it dry up. So the same way it can't explain speaking to a cancer, it will dry up. Whosoever shall say. And Jesus used the same principle in Matthew 17:20. When he said, why could we not cast it out? He said, because of your unbelief. He said, if you have faith, you will say. Say two. So you will have whatsoever that you say. So when James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James is still talking about your use of words. You must not be caught in the realm of double confession. God has said it. However, this is what happened. That's double confession. A resolute confidence in the integrity of the word. So, verse 24, Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, that what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So, look at it. What differentiates prayer from the prayer of faith? Prayer is not asking alone. The prayer of faith is asking. Anybody can ask. It is to believe that you receive. You don't believe that you receive when you have. You believe that you receive, then you have. So the prayer of faith is that I have prayed, I believe that I have received. I believe that I have received. It's not about repeating the formula. It is, I believe I have received. It could be, I have the power of God working in my body. It's correcting my heart. The power of God is working in my body. It has changed the texture and size of my kidney. The power of God has corrected my throat. That is, I have received. So it's not like saying, I believe, I receive. No. It's not by saying it. No. It is that what your words mean in prayer is that I believe that I have received. And then I have. It's not that it's when I have that I have received. No. Receiving is that I believe I have received it. Then I have it. So the prayer of faith is that I ask. For example, in this instance, that's what James is saying about healing. And the power of God has gone into my body. Why would I believe that I have received? Because I may not feel anything. I must never stay in the realm of the senses. Satan will whip you like a small boy. The realm of the senses is dominated by experiences. Yours might be so minute. But in the realm of faith and the realm of the word of God, there you are a master. And the word of God will change experiences. Experiences can never change the word. But the word changes experiences. So you must stay where you are a master. Where the name of Jesus is superior. Stay there. I believe I have received. Whenever I pray with people, remember when I pray with people, I say, well, what's today's date? I say, today is 18th or so, so and so. And I say, well, today we have received it. Don't step out of this place and pray about it again. Any prayer in this place after this now is to just give thanks. Because that day, 2 p.m. in your house, I believe we have received. We have received. We have received. Yes, in our minds we are still struggling about it, but we know that we have received it. 1 John 5:14 says this is the confidence that we have. If we have anything according to His will, He hears us. And because we know He hears us, we know we have the petition that we desired of Him. What Jesus called believing to those folks in Mark 11, John calls knowing. Believing or knowing is the faith expression of the believer. I know that I have it. I know that I have it. I know that I have it. So the prayer of faith is to believe that you have received. Hallelujah. To believe that you have received. Let's look at that Mark 5. So the question has been asked many times. Who prays? What Mark 5? Let's go to James 5 again. Who prays the prayer of faith? The elders or the sick? Who prays the prayer of faith? The elders or the sick? If you think it's the elders, let me see your hand. Why? Why? Why do you think it's the elders? And the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will save the sick. If faith is to ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and he will not doubt, nothing wavering. See, the elders that won't waver of me. So who prays the prayer of faith? The elders will pray. You also have to pray. The prayer of faith in 15, that will mean to stand in agreement with what they have said. Because you will do the receiving yourself. The pain is on your body. The power of God is not going to work on the minister's body. It will work in your body. So in the prayer of faith, always let the sick know that just about the way I have prayed, you have to believe and receive yourself. Because in the prayer of faith, I will believe that I have what? Received. So, let the recipient, in this instance myself, I must know how to receive. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. People seem to have a lot of faith in what the man of God says about their lives. That's why when they seem to receive in gifts of healings, oh, thank God, amen, amen. By saying that amen, they release their faith. So they receive healing. Oftentimes they get so used to it that when they are on their own, they are waiting for the next church service. No. You must know God's word well enough that anywhere you are, okay, you can pray the prayer of faith. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. You can pray the prayer of faith and receive. You can pray the prayer of faith. Look at that, Mark 5. Something to glean on what that woman with the issue of blood did. The first thing, now, if I were to read this, I mean, I remember Brother Higgins' book, How Right to Get with God, you know, mirroring this material, and I saw something that he said. You know, if I were to read this, and then they said, in verse 26 of 25, a certain woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. That is, her condition was worsened. She moved from just one pain to multiple issues and all that. But look at this. For when she heard of Jesus, seriously, I would have thought that that was a major thing. But really, hearing the word is no action. It's not. You may think that, oh, because you are hearing about healing now, it's working. No. It only provides the resources for you to now start using your faith. So the hearing, okay, you're not saying that when somebody hears the gospel, he's saved. No, he has to put faith in it. So she did nothing hearing. Because hear me very well, when you are hearing a teaching, you're not the one speaking. So your faith is not working. When you are listening to a teaching, you are not the one speaking. Because it's what you say. So, you only enjoy the teaching. You are blessed. But until you act upon it, nothing works. You are not the one speaking. It's the pastor speaking. It's Jesus talking. She heard of Jesus. Then she said. That is when faith began. Then she said. So, the first thing she did, the first action you will know that you are in faith is what you say. Then she said, if I touch the hem of his clothes, I will be healed. So, the first principle there that we see, or the first action that we see, which is consistent with everything we have read so far, is that she said it. Whosoever shall say, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says, shall say. Take no thought, saying, why did you doubt? It's all in words. For she said, if I touch his clothes. The strange thing about that incident was that Jesus was going to the house of Jairus. He was not planning to minister to anybody. He wasn't. It doesn't have to be a healing service for me to be healed. He wasn't. That means I don't necessarily have to have hands laid on me for me to be healed. Anywhere the power of God is present, my word can give direction to it. You know the power of God is present in your room. She said it. So the first thing she did was to say it. See, and I'm saying this to all of us here, and to anybody that's going to hear this teaching all over the world. You need to watch your words. See, for all it takes, just watch your words. You see, your words are the gateways to your mind. Those things you think are in your thoughts, they came from your words. If somebody says something, and immediately you say, nope, that's not me, that's nonsense. That's not God's word. It will never stay in your thoughts. It will never. But you say, well, I guess there's a point there. I guess that as long as you keep saying that, he stays in your mind. If the doctor's report, and you say, well, thank you for what you have said. And you look straight in the doctor's eye and say, well, to the glory of God, God's healing power is working. God's healing power. If I, in my case, I just spoke back immediately. Said, I'll be fine. I'll be healed. The man said, well, you young man, you don't know what I'm saying. He said, no, sir. You don't know what I'm saying. Because, and I wasn't saying it out of preaching. So that I have a testimony on the pulpit. No. It was, look, I wanted to leave. That's it. It's not like I want to preach about it. No. If you are doing things for preaching, you know, you'll be a testimony for somebody someday. For she said. For she said. Many times in the speaking, the first times we speak, we are registering God's word in our mind. You can imagine how many times she said it. She said it. You know, it's not about formula speaking. Somebody that has been sick for 12 years, she said it. She's driving, she's saying it. It's likely that she, as she's taking the drug, she's saying it. As she's in the kitchen, she's saying it. So look, I'll touch his clothes, I'll be healed. I'll be whole. I'll be whole. I'll be whole. Something she had never said for 12 years. She must have been used to saying, well, Dr. Tutu and so said that, hey, this is this. But she now had to change what she was saying. So that first time that you're speaking, is actually, it can be called renewing your mind. Particularly if you have tarried in the same thing for long. You are now renewing your mind. You are renewing your mind. Well, I remember somebody was told that, look, that if he does so-and-so, because he was born asthmatic, does so-and-so, that he will have that kind of attack, that he may die. So, he used to say, you say it consciously, you know, I can't move near cats, you know, I can't, you say those things often. So, as he fed on the word for a while, it was actually, he read right and wrong thinking. I shouldn't be saying this. So he started saying, no, doesn't matter what I touch, you know, the power of God is working in my body. You know, in fact, the day he was telling me the story, he was touching the cat. Say, you see, I'm fine. I'm fine. Sometimes that first speaking is your mind. Because your heart plays a major role in the faith walk. For she said, if I touch the hem of his clothes, I'll be healed. You know, our words were not ambiguous. Our words were not ambiguous. A faith declaration of the word is unambiguous. I like what E.W. Kenyon calls it. An unqualified committer. When you say, I will be there. Someone say, what if? Say, well, I will be there. That's an unqualified committer. That what I've said will happen. What I've said will happen. What I've said will happen. See, learn to say those things in the face of apparent defeat. Learn to say, look, I can't lose. It can never happen. What's giving you this assurance? Because I said it. Because I said it. Because I said it. So, that unqualified committal. See, it can even happen that when you said something that bad that happens, she said the same thing. It won't hurt you. Hallelujah. For she said, if I touch the hem of his clothes, I'll be healed. Then what did she do? She came in behind the press. The second thing she did was that she acted on it. Some will say, I'm healed. God's power is working in my body. My legs are fine. My hand, and they'll say in the bed. Say, Wale, please help me make hot tea. I know I can't take rice. You are saying something and you are acting contrary. She said it and she acted on what she said. She did. Again, we must also learn to act on what we say. Sometimes, the faith life of some people is because they don't even believe what they say. Some people do not believe that what they say will come to pass. They can't tell you, I'll be your friend forever, because they are not sure. Listen, it will creep into your Christian life. They can't say, for example, that look, you can't rely on them. When they say, look, we're in this forever. As they are saying it in their heart, they are saying, Olo Buso. They don't believe what they say. See, if you speak long enough, things you don't believe, alright, your heart will respond that same way. Long enough, the way you keep saying things that you won't do. You won't do. When it comes to God's word, you'll be doing the same thing. Learn to value what you say. Learn to say it. Learn to say it clear enough. Be unambiguous. Unambiguous. Faith's voice is clear. It has no single shadows to it. Say it loud and clear. See what Caleb said. For we are able. Let's go up at once. That's what he said. And those guys organized all night meeting. A vigil. It's only called all night vigil. Okay? They organized a vigil of crying. Numbers 11, 12, and 13. You know, it's likely you'll go to that kind of meeting. Look at those who are believing God. Two of them. One 80, one maybe 20 something. And they say, look at these miserable guys. See 2 million people. And everybody crying. And God said, these two have another spirit. That whatever they have said, Numbers 14, 28, it shall be done to them. It shall be done to them. Do you know that what they did, what they said, was actually called perversion. It was called wickedness. It was called provoking God. God said something. And you had the guts to say it's not true. God's word is true. Hallelujah. God's word is true. God's word is true. It's master over circumstances. They just said it. They said it. Just two people. You know, it's not likely you will follow them. Oh, you just say, These two are saying, we're able to go. Can they even fight? 80-year-old man. What does he have? And they were the two. So start putting premium on your words. If you don't know what to say, shut up. Wait till you fill your words with faith. I'm saying generally about ministry. Generally. You know, a guy, you know, walked out of our ministry years ago. About almost 20 years ago. No, up to that. About 18, thereabouts. 19. Yeah, 19 years. No. 18, 19. Then he said, blah, 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 blah. You know, I told him. And I saw many of them were ganging up. See, gang up is more meat to me. Eh? If you gang up against me, I'll tell you, you will fail. I will tell you to your face. And they've always failed. Say me, forget the matter. I was in a meeting. Somebody was prophesying. A respected pastor was prophesying that in 5 years, God told him. And he said, I told this person it happened. I told Brother it happened. He said, God is telling me in 5 years there will not be in the ministry. 1998, September 14th. I won't forget it. I laughed. I laughed. I said, me. Yeah. I like this like this. Let's see how it goes. Do you know, 5 years after, I went to see him. Was not talking to me about us working together in ministry. I looked at him. Look at you. I said, me. You know, learn to say those things boldly. It can't happen. Do you understand? Have such unrelenting attitude to the word. For she said. See, people in the throes of death have upheld the integrity of the word and they came out victorious. It's not a fable. Not a fanciful story. It's the truth. Say it. Say it. Ministry, leave the matter. See, the way I speak about the gospel in Africa, for years, that leave this matter. When we released the war, what to take over? It wasn't a joke. It took places. We kept saying it. It's not just teaching. No. You keep saying it. Some people say, hey, let's be, I'm not careful. Say your own, I'll say my own. Say, I'll say my own. That God's word is growing. It has tremendous effect all over the nation. That means even in ministry, don't be saying, No. In the face of difficulties, speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. And don't come and say, this is the problem we are facing. No. Speak the word. Speak the word. Just speak the word. I told the guy, I said, you can go. And it was a major part of the ministry. I said, you can go. So what do you know how to do? What do you want to do? I said, I have exams. See, I'm telling you something about ministries. You have exams. I said, I have exams. It was 19 years ago. I said, I have exams. Emoji, I told you I prayed about it. I told you I did about it. I said, we'll be fine. Very fine. You know the funny thing? I was the only one left in the ministry. So the we is not me. Hallelujah. You see it. And it goes into everything. Everything. Don't talk out your marriage. Don't talk out your life. Don't say, I don't know whether this thing will even happen. Whether it will work, don't say that. Say it will work. Say things are going fine. You know, it doesn't hurt to speak God's word. There is no price you will pay to speak God's word. There is no side effect to speaking God's word. Just say it. Just keep speaking God's word. There is nothing that will hurt you when you keep saying it. Would anybody beat you? Uh-huh. But we know God's word has the ability to do what it talks about. For she said. And when she said, she now did it. She did it. See, in ministry, I've had instances where people have walked away in their droves. Do you know what? I have never taken a break one day. As they walk, you know what I do? I'll just go and do another meeting. The next day, if it's just two people, I'll just continue and look like nothing happened. Did I have fears in my mind? I did. But I need to overcome it to keep doing what I was doing. And keep speaking God's word. Just keep at it. Sometimes you have the pain. It's still there. And you're saying, God's word is true. His power is working. His power is working. He's not, there is pain. No, don't say there is pain. His power is working. Yes, the pain is in my body, but his power is working. His power is working. Sleep on it. Wake up on it. Dream about it. Get up and say it again. Hallelujah. It's either it works or it works. We don't have option B. How can I have option B? If I can, look, do you know what path we are treading upon? If we are saying, well, it may work, it may work, then what gives you the confidence of eternity? If you can say, well, no, I'm too sure. You know in your heart that God's word is true. True! Absolutely true. I dare say. She said, and she did it. That is, she did what she said. She did what she said. You have said that you are good, the power of God, of God's will burn in your life and ministry forever. Keep doing it. People walk away, keep doing it. Keep doing it. She did it. For she came in behind the prayer. Interestingly, she didn't come and Jesus said, anybody that wants to touch my clothes, are you there? People were touching the clothes of Jesus. Some to just take the texture. And she just said, I will touch it. And I'll be home. Imagine that people touch it and nothing happened. But there was someone who said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be home. Faith gives direction to the power of God. Somebody has said, if I look into his eyes, I'll be whole. Same thing. Somebody was in a coma, or about to fall into one, and told the brother-in-law, she's the brother, and said, I've never seen a person in my life before. Said, call Pastor Noika, and just tell him to pray for me. Just call. So she slipped back into that state. I told you that story. 2014, I think, or 15. The guy now checked me on Facebook. Just checked me. He didn't know me. Blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, what is it? She said, calm down, come and pray, blah, 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 and all that. And I just gave the phone. I said, okay, let me talk. You know that, just talking. I didn't know the person. Just a Facebook, I believe in this man's ministry, and she came alive. I was wondering, should I just pray? Should I pray in tongues for some time? You know, you wonder, I'm not really prepared now. Maybe I just watch one Arsenal game and you know the nonsense those ones will do. I don't say. And you're already discouraged. And you say, no, you're saying, you just want to hear what you're going to say. Sometimes even you don't have as much, like, me, okay, let me just say. But the person that released his faith, that as I hear him, that's all. That's all. That's all. That's all. Someone told me this. Said, I just wanted to hear your voice. And I said, okay. And I just was going for a meeting. I said, the power of God will move. I didn't even know what I typed. He said, the blind receive their sight. Amen. I think I just quoted the scripture and just said, I didn't tell him that was what I was doing. I was typing on WhatsApp and I just left. He said, Pastor, that was the first time the blind received my meeting. I said, wow! Like, But you know what? It had nothing to do with me. He had released his faith in that direction. When it comes to healing, we have to learn to receive. Number two, she said it. She did it. Three, she received it. She received it. Learn to receive. Learn to receive. She received it. Of course, she told it later, but she received it. That means as she said it, she did it. You know, when you now touch his clothes, what do you say? You say, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. What do you now say? I am healed. Because you have already done it. So, as she touched his clothes, as hands will be laid on me, I'll receive healing for my tummy. I'll receive healing for my back. When those hands are laid on you, what do you say? I am healed. The Bible says immediately, the fount in her blood spied. She felt in her body. Jesus turned around and said, well, what happened? She came and told the story. So she knew what happened. It wasn't unconscious. She knew what she said. She knew what she did. And so, faith is not a grope into the dark, a risk take. No. It's an assurance that God's word is true. And I put it on my lips. She received it. Eventually, she told Jesus all that happened to her. So, we must learn to walk in these realities. Hear this. It works anyway. It works with sinful habits. Well, I know I don't have this habit anymore. My habit is praying, walking in love, walking in the spirit. Even when you are done the wrong thing and you are committed to sin, you say, well, I know very well that my spirit is a righteous spirit. I know it's holy. I know it has the life of God. And you are saying that. And you are saying that. Soon enough, your experiences will catch up with the word. They will. Say it. You know, Brother Hagin used to teach something called keep the switch of faith turned on. That means that when hands are laid on you, for example, hands are laid on you, and then you say, I've received it. I'm healed. You don't walk away and they will ask you, how are you? Say, ah, thank God, oh God. No, say, I am healed. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep it turned on. As hands are laid on you, you release faithful words. I have received my healing for so and 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 I am healed. I close here. And I am healed. I am healed. Remember, it is the sick that prays the prayer of faith. I'm healed. Let me just add a few things. Know how to take healing. Know how to receive it. Know how to receive it. Don't just admire it. Mental assent admires the word. It says it's true. Mental assent says, wow, I love it. God's word is true. But then it doesn't act. I choose to act on the word. Remember Abraham. He gave glory to God. You know, we can do something. You know, we pray shortly. But we can also have like a daily dosage of the word. You know the way you take drugs? I mean, I've taken drugs before faithfully. Faithfully, I was loyal to the drugs. Loyal. 7 o'clock, I don't take them. 7, 10, 12, I would take it like this. There was particular one particular liquid, like very bitter. I will not be using my faith so that it will not be so bitter. You get it? You know, pray for me a closer. You know, you release your faith. Well, you can do that. You know, 3 times a day, just say, well, every day, whether there's sickness or not, just every day, I'll just be feeding on the word of God. You know, on a daily basis. 2-3 times a day. Same way you are faithful with natural medication. You can actually look at God's word in that direction. What do I mean? You can. You know, Joshua says this book of the law, talking about the law of Moses now, shall depart from your mouth. That's the first thing he says. It will not depart from where? Your mouth. How? You will meditate therein day and night. Then you observe to do. You observe to do. It will not depart from your mouth. You will meditate day and night and observe to do. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man. He says that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, see the seed of sorrow, see the seed of wisdom, the way of sinners. But his delight, he says, in the law of the Lord. And in this law, he meditates day and night. Day and night is always. Day and night. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself to them. Melitao. That thy property may appear. Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. Whatever things are pure. Any virtue, any person, think on them. I have to think on them. How do I think on them? I think by speaking them to myself. Consistently. Consciously. I speak them. I say them. I feast on them. I say them consistently. Christ is my healer. He heals my body because he took my sin. Yes, I trust him for healing. The gifts of healings are working in my body. I have what I say. You know, I say that so often. I feed on the word. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word and deed. Word and deed. Your words precede your actions. And what you do and what you become and what you receive. I can just choose daily to feed on the word. Because whether now or in the future, I will need the facts about healing. Either for myself or someone else. Many times for myself. I feed on the word. I act on it. I have what he says I have. I receive what he says I have. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just stand to our feet. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost song. Amen.